I suppose I could say that my real faith training took place in New York City. Of course, it's a lifelong experience, but the real beginning of it in regard to the gospel seemed to be in New York City. How interesting that God trains us in the most difficult situations, in the awkward situations, in the occasions where we think that God may have forsaken us, when in fact he hasn't at all, but he's training our trust in him. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on Good News, the good news of the gospel, the good news that God our Father sent his Son to pick up his kids in this world and bring them home to his Heavenly Father. This is the message that we have. All who trust in him, all, whatever their state or condition, who trust in him, have eternal life. I'd hoped that coming to America to get my MA degree at Andrews University would land me a job in the ministry in the same denomination I was in. But just 2 or 3 days before graduation, nothing had come through, no call at all. I was enormously anxious, especially because I had no money. I had had just enough money to come to the United States to live for 3 months, and no money to stay, and no money to return. And my visa, my student visa, would expire as soon as I graduated. What a dead end that seemed to be. But God is just amazing in relation to dead ends. And 2 days before I graduated, I got two calls, one to Chicago and one to New York City. I had got to know some friends who were going to New York City in ministry, and so I thought, well, that's where I'll go too. So there it was. I went to New York. New York, for me, was an incredibly lonely experience. A very impersonal city, it seemed to me, very harassed, very noisy, very irritated, very fast, and I seemed to be groundless. I missed England very, very much. I missed friends. I missed my family. I seemed so far away. And there was no money for me to go and visit here and there. And so the isolation was enormous. But I launched into the ministry, and one of the memorable experiences was to preach 4 times a week during every summer for 3 or 4 summers. In Battery Park, out in the open air at Battery Park, down in the southern part of New York City. Battery Park, you know, was added to Manhattan. It's not a natural part of it. Where did all the soil and the ground come from? It came from excavating way down 70 feet for the building of the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers. They went down 70 feet to develop a strong foundation, and all the rubble was laid out at the foot of Battery Park, at the foot of Manhattan. You might want to take a look at a map, and you will see that foot of Manhattan is all green. It's a park, and it was made out of that foundation rubble. And I was preaching there while the Twin Towers were still going up every day for four days a week for 3 months. There I watched that second tower going up and having its cap completed. And it was an awesome sight. When I went to see that Twin Tower and walked around it, I was stunned by the sheer enormity of that building and of those two buildings. Battery Park was quite an interesting experience. I had had some experience of park open-air preaching in London at Speaker's Corner. I wanted to try my hand at it in New York. So I bought a map of New York, and I looked for the green spots. The green spots, of course, were parks, like Central Park and Battery Park. I went down to Battery Park, and outside of the park, by the iron gate, was a man selling ties. I asked him if anyone preached had ever preached in the park. He said no, but they ought to, and that was my cue. And several days later, I arranged things and came down to Battery Park at about 11:30 in the morning, and was planning to preach till 2 in the afternoon, from about 12 to 2. There's an entrance to the park at those gates, those iron gates on the south part, and 30 or so feet into the entranceway is a monument with a flagpole. And that is a monument to the purchase of Manhattan from the Indians for, I think, $46, if I remember correctly. $46, Manhattan was purchased from the Indians. There I stood, that was my plan, and preached. Around the shape of that entrance area was octagonal, and there were hedges inside the iron fence area, and then by the hedges were various seats where people often came and sat and read their newspaper or book during lunch hour and ate their lunch. I planned to preach there, and I tried to imagine that they would be my audience. So there I went. I made sure that I'd look respectable. I had a collar and tie on and a suit. I didn't want to look like one of these weirdo outdoor preachers. I would open my Bible, and I would say, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Battery Park Lectures." There was nobody there, of course, except the people sitting on the seats, but I pretended they were my audience. Some of them looked up at me, some of them ignored me, but there I started. And what happened was that I gathered about 40 to 100 people every day for 4 days a week, Tuesday through Friday, for 3 months every summer. My throat got hoarse, and I wasn't able to preach very well during the weekend at church. But that preaching was my training and practice for the Book of Romans, because I was determined to preach the good news. And as I preached the good news, I crafted it more carefully. I was able to formulate my thoughts and come up with illustrations all through the preaching, and I would change my presentation each day as I preached. People began to gather and really attend on a regular basis. One lady came up to me and said, "Do you mind if I bring orange juice and drinks for everybody?" I said, "Certainly, go right ahead." Somebody asked if he could put literature down on the ground. I said, "Certainly, you could." One bank manager came up to me and said, "I want you to know that this is the best part of my day. I look forward to it every day. Thank you." It was an awesome experience. A number of people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, came to my church, and others I know came to believe. What was amazing about all this to me was that this was happening while I was going through the most horrendous, dark period of my life. How could God use a person who was going through darkness and defeat and failure, temptation and yielding to temptation? How could God possibly work life into a man who was also experiencing death? This is something I feel the church has never faced, and wants it black or white, and yet all of us, in one way or another, are living in the light while we are struggling with the darkness. Many times the church doesn't want to acknowledge it, and we don't want to admit it. But it is the truth of the reality of life. The isolation I felt in those days was emotionally and spiritually crushing me. Not simply isolation from other people, because I had many friends around me in church, but isolation from myself. Could not accept who I was, what I was, that I had homosexual orientation. Deep anguish over that, and the feelings of guilt endlessly and shame in relation to God. Certainly when I was tempted, I very many times resisted and many times failed and yielded, and the shame and the guilt and the darkness I felt from that was unimaginable for me. I felt I could not return to God. How could I preach? How could I teach? And yet I had to go on, or so I felt. And this is how it was in those days. And what was God doing? What I think he was doing was taking me through that dark valley, that dark tunnel, to train my faith at every step of the way. Yes, I know I had responsibility, that my actions were wrong, and that I was responsible for my actions. I cannot blame God for those. I cannot look upon circumstances and say I was a victim to them. But I can believe in the sovereignty of God, that God hands us over, even in his love, to the powers of evil, that we might learn how to trust in him, how to affirm Christ's victory, how to believe in him when we have fallen and failed, when we feel abandoned. All of that was coming to me through those years. I was preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel, I tell you, even while falling into sin. I was not preaching against a certain sin in order to sort of cleanse myself, as certain preachers have done in the past. You know how it is. You have an internal problem, so you condemn those who have it so that somehow it placates your own conscience. That's not what I was doing. Because I was preaching not against men with struggles or women with struggles, but that God would bless them and help them in those struggles and could declared to them that they were reconciled to him even while they had those struggles. I was doing that because I knew that that was not only that I knew that that was the gospel in Romans, and also my own experience. Why do I tell you this? Why do I say this? It's not comfortable to me for me to share this with you, I will tell you. But I will tell you this so that you do not lose heart, so that you do not throw yourself away and say, I'm no good, so that you do not say, I'm useless, I do not deserve God's presence, and I am a lost man and not saved, but rather that you cling to God no matter what, no matter how great your failure is, and you continue to affirm that the victory is already won, even though you haven't won it yet, until the light dawns more clearly. The head offices at Crawford Broadcasting will be drawing on my check that I sent them for the radio rent, $874, any day now, and yet there's not quite enough to cover it. If you can help with that, please do so. Send your check, mark it to Faith Quest, and send it to P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Thank you very, very much. If you would like to make the donation by PayPal, by the way, those of you who don't know how to do PayPal, just go to Google and key in PayPal, and they will tell you how to sign up with them there. When you've done that, you can go to faithquestradio.com, my website, faithquestradio.com. Click on the donation button there, and you'll see the PayPal icon, and there you'll be able to make your donation. It's a very simple way of dealing with it, and very convenient to both you and to me. And if you'd like to become a regular partner of FaithQuest and the radio broadcast, how it happens, simply send your monthly donation of any kind you like, any amount you like, to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160, or make your regular donation by PayPal. I will send you my Cook's monthly message, which is on the Book of Hebrews at the moment, as a thank you. And if you don't want any literature or any CD, simply say no literature, please. Thank you again, then. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.